Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation. We are on lesson number 5. Lesson number 5, still section 1, which covers Revelation chapter 1. And the title of section 1 is The Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And this is the last lesson from section 1, the application is revealed. Revelation 1:7 is our theme verse. How many of you need lesson 5? And we also have lesson 6 finished, if you'd like to go ahead and get that. If you need either of those, please raise your hand. Lesson 5 or 6. Go ahead and raise your hand. Brother Collins Sveltley will come to you. What a guy. All right, Brother Stewart, are you helping? You have lesson 6. What do you need, Brother Korea? Lesson 6, right up here in the front. All right. I understand there are many folks having rapture parties today. And, you know, if people, you know, seriously, if we just believe the Bible, just stick to the Word of God, we don't have to, you know, somebody said, well, I bet Christians will have a black eye. I don't. I have a very full stomach from all the open houses yesterday, but I'm not ashamed or embarrassed about anything. My Bible says that we don't know what day or what hour, and it's going to be a time when we think not, so I pretty well knew it wasn't going to happen yesterday. Right? Now, I could today. Wouldn't that be great? Today's a great day for the Lord, because especially, you know, and you feel bad. I had somebody said to me, I just wish Jesus would come to shut these people up. You have to understand, it isn't going to shut them up. The tribulation time is, it will be a time of partying. They will rejoice that we're gone, because we're a pain. Now, you have to understand, we're really not. They think we are. They think we're worse than, I read a, and I shouldn't do it. Oh, I should not do it. Not on a Sunday, but somebody wrote to the newspaper, you know, and almost, you know, it's like, who do you Christians think you are trying to compare yourselves with Islam? First of all, we're not comparing ours. I don't want to compare myself. We have nothing in common with Islam. Not even the closest thing, but it's almost like we're the bad guys. Have we beheaded anyone? Now, this is not a confession time. Well, yeah, you know, we out in the back, but no. But anyway, it's going to get like that. So things like this have to happen, in my thinking. Because when we're gone, you know, it's not going to be this thing that, well, they were right. What are we going to do? What must I do to be saved? It's going to be good. Get them out of here. You know, we'll take over their properties and their buildings, and we'll really party. And it's not, you know, anyway, okay, let's move on. Revelation 1:7 is our verse for today and for lesson number 5. And so let's go ahead and say that together. Turn there in your Bible, or you can look at lesson 5 right there under memory verse. And we'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference. And begin. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1:7. And again, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Thank you so much, Father, for a beautiful day today. Thank you for a great day yesterday with all the open houses and the celebrating from graduations. And I do pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be very, very busy this summer. Help our college students who've come home from college, help them to be busy serving you this summer. and of course our church to see great things happen this summer. Certainly, Lord, we'd love to see you come today, and that'd sure be a blessing. But you're God, and it's your calendar, your timetable, and not ours. And we just pray that when you do come, we'll be busy, and we'll be pleasing you with our lives. So help us now to understand your word a little bit better and challenge us so that we're different. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with Roman number 1, Jesus is coming. And you'll notice this is kind of a short lesson, lesson 5. Well, it looks short. It could end up being long. You never know. But Jesus is coming. Justice is coming is number 2. And then number 3, judgment is coming. And all of that, those kinds of things we'll talk about out of Revelation 1 and verse 7. And then we move lesson 6. We move into actually Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And who knows how long we'll be there. But but as we consider Revelation 1:7, the theme, of course, Jesus is coming. And he's coming. And we've talked about how the first phase of his coming we call the rapture. It is kind of interesting, even though the newspaper article yesterday about it was kind of mocking and inaccurate, which I don't expect anything else. But it was interesting when you turned the page right at the top, it said rapture. And I, you know, that's something that you don't see certainly every day. You don't see it very often in secular news or anything. And so, if nothing else, people at least are becoming familiar with that idea. And whether they mock or not, you know, it the Bible said there would be scoffers. So we understand that. But the first phase is the rapture. He comes in the clouds. Now you'll notice in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. All right, so that's that's talking about really what the Bible says the most about. That is his coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and fighting the battle of Armageddon and all of that. And much of Revelation is about that time and the tribulation leading up to that and everything. The rapture is a very, you know, there's not a lot said about it. Well, that was one accurate thing. In the article, it said that there's not much said. Well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. You won't find that word anywhere. But it's okay to come up with a word as long as the definition is what is described in the Bible. And so we spent some time on that last week. Of course, he will come in the clouds in the rapture, and that's the first phase of his coming, and then that starts everything. And so the rapture is the next event to take place. It is imminent. That means it could happen anytime. We don't know when, and we've spent a lot of time talking about that. I don't want to go into all of that again, but again, the challenge to us, I believe, should be to think about the rapture taking place in the United States of America. It would be absolutely devastating. They can party all they want. They can talk about going out and getting drunk and all that when all the Christians are gone. But I'm telling you, it will be complete chaos, especially in the United States of America. And there's no way, you know, again, I'm not trying to predict anything. I just cannot even, my mind cannot fathom how devastating it's going to be when the rapture does take place. And, of course, the lie of the Antichrist and his forces and the fact that God sends a delusion that people believe that lie, it's hard for us to imagine. And in my own mind, I think about it often only because it motivates me to tell more and more people about Jesus and try to get them saved before that day happens. You know, again, well, I just want to show them. Yeah, well, let's tell them how to get saved, and let's try to get more and more people saved. And again, we're not going to be able to yell from heaven, "See, we told you." Okay, you're not going to get that that opportunity. So let's just do all we can to get people saved so they don't miss the rapture. So obviously, the rapture starts the tribulation. And it is just an amazing thing. I did want to start with Mark 13, though, and just show you something. We kind of ended there last week, Mark chapter 13. And again, boy, what a coincidence that we happen to be on this during this time of year. And I'd like to say that I planned all that for that, but I did not. It's just the way God works, and that is such a blessing. But again, Mark 13:32, and I do apologize. Some of my revelation class keeps spilling out into the preaching, but that's just because that's what I'm consumed with. And this morning I am going to preach about some of these things. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. By the way, knoweth no man. Okay, you don't have to. These people say, well, the Son shouldn't be capitalized in the originals and all this kind of stuff. And oh, really, you've seen him. But the point is, knoweth no man, but we don't need to get into that. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. There's the word watch. Do you see it? For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to. There it is again. Watch. Verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, at the cock crowing or in the morning. Verse 36. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Not a good thing. And look how he ends it. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Okay, that's why that's why no man knows when. But and we covered that last week. So it's not like we're just getting on the bandwagon at the end of the thing since it didn't happen. And we talked about this last week in case somebody listens over the internet or figures out and you want to use me on 2020 or something. Watch. That's why we don't know. We have to watch. We're supposed to watch. God said to watch. Watch for me. Okay, if I knew when he was coming, you know, then I'm. Who knows what I might do? I might just wait till that time to watch. I'm supposed to watch now. I'm supposed to watch. You know, I get up this morning. I'm supposed to look out and watch. I'm watching for the Lord's return. But here's something important. Scripture never tells you to watch for the Antichrist. Okay, so let's quit trying to watch for the Antichrist. You know, we there are numbers of people, and it is amazing now with the internet how much fruitcakiness you can get involved in. Honestly, it is amazing how stuff spreads and this guy said this and that guy. But, you put numbers together and you come up with names and all that kind of. Nowhere does the Bible say to do that. Are you listening? Okay, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, you know, wasteth timeth is what comes to mind on some of that stuff. The Antichrist. Okay, they have had everybody be in the Antichrist. Every bad guy in past history, you know, somebody had a reason to believe he was the Antichrist. Because quit looking for the Antichrist, okay? Amen. I mean, as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing Baptist, then we believe the Bible. Therefore, the Bible nowhere tells us to watch for the Antichrist. Look for the No. We're not to watch for the Antichrist, okay? That's not in Scripture. We're not to try to figure out who it is so we can blast them. You know, this is the Antichrist. We know this. You know, I've heard all kinds of names as the Antichrist. And the truth of the matter is, it is very, very possible that I will never know who he is as far as here on this earth. Because I'm going to be taken out of here. We may not know, you know, as far as will there ever be on television or on the internet or satellite or whatever something where somebody's up there speaking and under their picture it says the Antichrist. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be that way. We're not supposed to watch for. I don't want to see the Antichrist. Are you listening? I don't. He has nothing for me. And he has nothing for you either. We are not told to look for the Antichrist. But look at Philippians 3. Real quick. This is just kind of a commercial. Philippians 3 and many other verses. Here's what we're supposed to be watching for. Philippians 3 and verse 20. Write it down. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and thank God, you know, it's very clear, the Savior. There's a whole bunch of people say, I'm the Savior, I'm the Savior, I'm the Savior. Bible said it'd be that way. Oh, there's going to be all kinds of people saying, I'm the Christ, I'm the this. No, no, no. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're looking for. All right? And it says, who shall change our vile body. Isn't that good? Glory to God. You know, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. But I can't get into all that right now because that'll get me in trouble. But that's who we're looking for. Look for the Savior. Watch for the Savior. You know, don't get all wrapped up in who the Antichrist is and who we think it is. And, oh, I know. No, you don't. And neither do I, and neither does anybody else. You know, God has that all under control. And so, praise the Lord, look for the Savior. And that'll keep you excited. That's who we're looking for. And what a blessing. So, the rapture will take place, and that'll start the tribulation. Again, that's the first phase, I called it anyway, of His coming. And tribulation takes place on the earth. It'll take place for 7 years. Most of Revelation is about that tribulation time, and or I should say much of Revelation is about that. We'll be in heaven, okay? And what a blessing that's going to be. I mean, it really is. You know, somebody wrote in, and again, I know I shouldn't read what they write, but somebody wrote in, and one person said, why wouldn't everybody want to go in the rapture? And I'm thinking, you know, that's a dumb thing to say. Because there's a whole bunch of people that wouldn't want to go in the rapture because they're not saved. They don't understand. There's a bunch of carnal Christians that are, I guarantee, they're hoping the rapture doesn't take place. And then there's some people that just, you know, they're young. I tell our teenagers sometimes, you know, I can understand you not necessarily being thrilled about the rapture taking place because you want to go to college, you want to get married, you want to have your families, and I understand that. But hey, at 53 years old, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I'm just saying, you know, we're going to go to the judgment seat, and that's going to be a wonderful time, okay? It's going to be a great time. And that'll go on, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be lots of eating, amen? And glory to God. We're going to have a good time. There's going to be a lot of good things happening during that time for us. But on this earth, it's going to be bad. All right, and we're getting ready to return. So we have 7 years. We'll be in heaven and getting ready to return to this earth with the Lord Jesus, who comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's riding on a white horse, and we're following on white horses out of heaven. And so we know there's horses in heaven. So I assume there's dogs in heaven as well, and the dogs are in heaven, and the cats are in. Well, we won't get into that, but. Anyway, we're going to, and all that's going to be taking place. Maybe we'll take riding lessons. You know, you say, well, I've ridden a horse before. Have you ever flown a horse? Yeah. To me, it seems like the ride will be a lot smoother than the last time I rode a horse and could barely walk afterwards. But again, verse 7 is that return. Okay, it's after the 7 years tribulation. It is coming from heaven, riding on the white horse, and this is the theme of Revelation. The rapture is, again, it has to happen first, but that's not the theme of Revelation. In fact, the rapture is, that's a mystery. And it's because watch. We don't know when it's going to be. We have no idea when it's going to be, but the second coming of Christ, when we really refer to the second coming, we are talking about Him coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will happen 7 years after the rapture. And I don't have the time. I don't know if that'll be a time zonal coming or not. That just made me tired too. But anyway, it's going to be an exciting, exciting time for us, those 7 years. It's going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible time for folks here on this earth. And by the way, I think it's going to be very fast for us as far as, you know, God's timing. And we talked about a thousand years on earth is like a day to the Lord. So again, you know, I don't know what that's going to be like with us in heaven. Never been there. Not sure how the timing goes, but I think it all goes pretty fast, and it's pretty exciting, and we're getting ready to come back with him. So that's the theme. That's where we talk about the coming of Christ, and that's what it's talking about in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Okay? Look at Jude 14. Let's look at some verses here. Here's my guy Enoch. I like Enoch. I think he's going to do an excellent job during the tribulation, preaching. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, the 10,000s of his saints, that's us. All right? That's where we come in. Won't that be exciting? That is an exciting thought. And praise the Lord for that. Revelation 19, verse 11. Go there. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. Amen. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what we're talking about here. Rapture, 7 years, Jesus comes. That's exactly what we're talking about. Notice back in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus has ascended, and the Bible says, let's start at verse 9. Says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And that, again, by the way, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? It's okay to gaze, just don't be standing. Be busy. Amen. Why are you standing gazing? Look up, but be busy. Be busy. Get busy. Do something. Amen. And again, the whole idea is every eye shall see him. As they gaze and they watch him go, well, when he comes back, they're going to watch him come. That is this part of what we call the second coming. Zechariah 14, verse 4, very important. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Page 1459 in your super giant print, you can barely see, Bible. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And again, that is talking about the second coming, the theme of the book of the Revelation. That is not talking about what we call the rapture. That is 7 years after the rapture. That is when the Lord comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second, again, it's easy to understand the separation of the two phases of his coming. The rapture, he comes in the clouds, we go to him. The second phase, every eye shall see him. Every eye. I'm talking about the people, you know, and now that's, you know, used to, you just thought, wow, how's God going to do that all across the world, every eye? But, and certainly God could do it that way. God could make it just clear as clear could be for everybody. It could be the internet, could be, there's so many ways now to understand that when you just, it's hard to imagine all the people that have you know, about every phone now has cameras and they can video and all that. And so the point is, every eye, second phase, every eye shall see him. And by the way, here's something that you'll see often in Scripture. The first part is mercy. The second part is battle, judgment. First coming, mercy. Not the first coming, but the first part of his coming, the rapture. That's all mercy. That's to get us out of here. You need to understand that. You know, a lot of people, this group in California, whatever they're called, and so many of them around here as well that predicted yesterday, you know, they judgment day. The rapture's not judgment day. It's not judgment day. It's mercy day for us. Amen. Like I say, it's going to be terrible on this earth. It's going to be terrible in the United States of America. But it's mercy day. The rapture has nothing to do with judgment. The rapture has everything to do with getting us out of here. That's the whole point. Okay? And but that second coming, wow, that's battle. And he comes in power and great glory. Go ahead and answer that. Tell him Pastor's still speaking. And anyway, he comes as King of Kings. That is what Revelation, primarily, that is the theme, the apocalypse, the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, you know, just, again, you just need to divide those by 7 years. That's all it is. Okay, there's a 7-year tribulation time. Look at Daniel 2, verse 34. Daniel 2. And when we studied Daniel way back, long, long ago, we talked about this. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar's had his dream, and Daniel's telling him about it. Daniel 2, verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And that image represents mankind. Totally, completely, all history represented by that image, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And that image represents the best that man could come up with. And it's very interesting, as we did study that, it's very interesting how opposite that is of secular humanism, which says man is getting better and better. And the image that God showed to King Nebuchadnezzar shows that man's getting worse and worse. And you know, the head of gold, that was the best man had. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse, more inferior and weaker, so that you have feet made out of iron and clay, and that's not going to hold much up. Especially when that stone that was cut out without hands hits it. By the way, those feet, when they crumble, everything crumbles. And boy, that's a great, great, great passage. Look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings, now let's go to verse 43. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, amen, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Remember when we studied Daniel, you know, you had the Babylonian Empire, and then it kind of merged. All the man's kingdoms kind of merged into each other. They adapted into each other. That's how Daniel was able to be part of the Medes and Persians, because even though he was a leader in the Babylonian kingdom, when the Medes and Persians took over, Daniel, he just adapted in, and they kept him involved in their kingdom as well. And they did that with many of the governments. But I love what it says here. You know, it says, it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. wiped out all of man's kingdoms, because God's kingdom is perfect. It is perfect. There is no hint of flesh, carnality in God's kingdom. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And that is certain, and that is sure. Matthew 24 talks about it as well. And verse 27, Matthew 24, 27. I think we looked at this last week. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Again, a carcass, dead bodies, there will be many at the battle of Armageddon. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They shall see, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect. That is not talking about the rapture. Understand that. From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh, and so on and so forth. Again, his coming is with power and glory. Chapter 26, verse 64, and I am skipping around a little bit here. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And again, you know, this is talking about his coming to the earth, which is what we call the second coming. Again, that is 7 years after we're taken. You say, well, in other words, we're not going to see him coming down from the clouds. We're going to be with him coming down from the clouds. Amen. We're going to be with him as he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're not going to see him from here. Somebody says, you know, I've just been, okay, listen, really, we talk about looking for Christ, but again, we're listening for the trumpet, amen, and the shout, but obviously we'll gather to be with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, Jesus is coming. Ushers, you need to come. I'm just curious. I've thought a lot about the people that make those predictions. Do you suppose they spend all their money? What do you think? I don't know. Do you suppose? I just keep thinking. I'd like to see the guy's calendar. You know, I have a calendar. Brother Pick and Paul has all these. Well, you have. You know, we have the music schedule. Did he tell his music director, don't schedule anything after the 21st? What do you do? Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. It's a good offering kind of thing to talk about. Because, again, you know, I think some of the people sold all that they had again in one of those deals. What'd they do with the money? I wish they'd have sent it to us. But anyway, so number one, Jesus is coming. Number two, justice is coming. And it is. It says in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. They're going to see him, and justice is going to take place. You have to understand that. Zechariah 13, verse 6, good prophecy in reference to that. Zechariah 13, you said, preacher, I found that a while ago, but I don't know if I can find it again. Zechariah 13, verse 6, 1,458 in your super giant print Bible. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Who did that? Well, the truth of the matter is, if you want to really be honest, we did. Every one of us. But I think primarily the Jews. And you have to understand, justice is coming. And we're all guilty, every one of us. It was our sins. That's why he died on the cross. It was for our sins he died. And justice is going to be served. It, you know, people can say all they want to say. People can talk. By the way, I can't tell you this. Okay, I'll wait on. No, I'm not supposed to. I don't think I am. I'll have to ask. Anyway, you know our situation that we had three times here. That may be done. I can tell you that much. And good reason to think it might be over with for now. But anyway, the point is, you know, somebody breaks in here and, boy, look what I did. Oh, isn't that something? And, you know, I'm going to do it again. They do it again and maybe break in somewhere. I'll break in, do this and do that. But, you know, justice is coming. It's, you know, it's going to be dealt with. And it's just like, you get caught. And I don't know if you ever did. And we're not going to ask for a show of hands of all the guilty folks in the room that have done something wrong. But it's like that feeling. Well, pretty much all of us have experienced way many, many years ago. Getting a speeding ticket. And it's that, you know, that feeling when you're driving along and all of a sudden you see him on the side and he turns his light on as you're passing him, you know, and you wave, hi. But no, you don't wave. Oh, never. You know, what you do is you try to tap your brake, right? You know, or you flip it off a cruise real fast so he can't see the brake light. You know, we do all these different things. But I'm just saying, you know, when he's behind you, you know, and you hope he's getting the next guy, but he gets right behind, you know, understand that justice, that's justice. That's coming. That is coming. Every eye shall see him. They which pierced him. And it's like that sick feeling. Understood. Honestly, it is going to take place. You know? It is going to take place. And everything will be made right. Okay? As a Christian, you know, we get frustrated. And it is frustrating. I cannot say, you know, I'm just that spiritual that sometimes I don't think, God, why don't you just smash that person? You know, but most of the time, I recognize the fact everything is going to be dealt with. And it is going to be dealt with righteously because we have a righteous judge. Again, you know, justice is balancing that out. And, you know, wrong will be made right. And it will be dealt with. And if there is sin, there's punishment. That's what justice calls for. Okay? That is exactly what justice screams for. If the law is broken, there's got to be punishment. And let's be honest, we all broke the law. Every one of us has broken the law. But Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. And so we're not waiting for justice. He's going to take us out of here. But I'll tell you, and we're actually going to be with him when he comes. But punishment is going to take place exactly as he said it would. Now, the tribulation really is about God's wrath on the Jews, dealing with them, trying to get them to see that he's the Messiah. And those, you know, again, God's going to deal with them, but everybody's going to be part of that. And justice will take place. Many will see. Again, you know, some will be saved before that, obviously. But there will be many that will recognize, you know. 7 years before, didn't we have a party and celebrate all the, you know, and make fun of Jesus and make fun of the Bible and make fun of, you know, we went in, looted that church and turned it into a nightclub and you know, all these, you know, 7 years before. But now they see him. Justice is coming. And there is absolutely no question. See, I saw who I pierced when I was 17 years old. And I came face to face with the one who I pierced, the one I put nails in his hands, I put nails in his feet. I ripped the skin off of his back with a cat of nine tails. It was my sin, and I saw that at the age of 17. And thank God he saved me. Thank God I called on him, and he did what he said he would do, and he made me a new creature. I saw who I pierced at the age of 17, and I got saved. And I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be with him when he comes back. But imagine those that will see him. And they will. You understand that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Every knee. You say, well, there's a guy at work just uses God's name in vain and just says awful things about Jesus, and they're Satan worshipers and all that kind of stuff. Again, understand that there will be people saved during the tribulation. Many Jews will get saved. But I'm just saying that justice is coming. And, you know, we don't have to try to bring it about ourselves. Nowhere does it tell us that we're the judge. Nowhere does it tell us we're the jury. Nowhere does it tell us we are to... you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to win people to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Justice is coming, though, and it will take place. And everything will be made right. And then Roman number 3, we'll get to this next week. Judgment is coming. And again, we just simply go from the verse. In verse 7, it says, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. But we'll stop here. Father, thank you so much for salvation. I'm so glad that at the age of 17, I saw the one I pierced. But I thank you for being pierced for me. And I thank you for providing eternal life. And I pray if there's one here today who's never been saved, that today'd be the day they'd come to Christ. And they'd be born again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us your word and preparing us and telling us to watch. And I do pray you'll come quickly. I pray it'd be even today. Help us to be ready, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll